This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
No AD, no problem for LeBron. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Give me a call, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. MVP. LeBron, how's LeBron not going to win MVP this year? They're going to give it to Giannis again, you think? James Harden, who missed the beginning of the season, trying to get out of Houston. KD has been hurt a lot this year so far, and knock wood, he'll be okay in the second half. Embiid out for 2 weeks now. LeBron, everyone knows LeBron deserved more than four MVPs. He's sitting on four, just like Jordan deserved 10, he got five. And this may be the last best chance to give LeBron an MVP, particularly when he deserves it. Dropped another triple-double. Los Angeles won its third straight game out of the break, 137-121 over the T-Wolves in Tuesday's Western Conference showdown at Staples. LeBron with a triple-double, as I said. In two games out of the All-Star break, LeBron posted a double-double with assists in a win over the Indiana Pacers and a triple-double in a win over the Golden State Warriors. He was asked to lead the way again, of course, in Tuesday's contest with Anthony Davis, Marc Gasol, Alex Caruso, and Jared Dudley all out. Now think about that. That Lakers roster is not deep with starting caliber players. In fact, you have two of the best players in the league, top five-ish, right? Top five or six players in the league, in LeBron and AD. And is there another starter on the team? Is there another guy who you'd say, that is a league average starter? Schroeder? Maybe, arguably, kinda. I'll bet you I could name, you know, in a league of 30 teams, could I name 20 point guards I'd rather have than Schroeder? Because that would put him in the bottom third. But could I name 15 that I'd rather have? That would put him on the bottom half of you know, on the wrong side of the tracks. Yeah, probably I could, huh? They don't even have one. I mean, okay, you could say Montrezl Harrell's a sixth man, something like that, but I'm talking about starting caliber, average starting caliber player. And LeBron's taking that team. Now, they have another great player, but he hasn't been available. And they have a bunch of other guys who could be in the rotations of successful teams. But it's LeBron and maybe there are two other players on the team who you'd say are in spitting distance of being average starting caliber players. You want to say that about Montrezl Harrell at power forward? I guess. He doesn't really shoot it, though. Nowadays, he kind of got to shoot it. So he's really more of a sixth man power forward type guy. And as I said, Schroeder, I'd say Schroeder's a starting caliber point guard, but maybe not an average starting caliber point guard. If that sounds harsh, how many great point guards there are, right? Like, probably like James Harden and Russell Westbrook and Steph Curry and Damian Lillard and like all those guys, right? Mike Conley, Chris Paul, and, you know, you can go on and on. Kemba Walker, I mean, when he's healthy, and on and on and on. But even guys like who you don't consider stars yet, like Lonzo Ball. The Lakers would have liked to hold on to Lonzo Ball. They had to get AD, you have to move him. But even like a guy like that, not a superstar, not a star, but you sure Schroeder's better than him? There are a lot of guys like that in the NBA. And LeBron is taking this crew. His second best offensive player was probably Talen Horton Tucker, whom I like. I like Talen Horton Tucker. He's a unique kind of player. 16.7 boards and 4 assists and a win. But that's probably the second like best firepower on offense that LeBron has at his disposal right now. Montrezl Harrell went for 25-6-4. He's doing something, LeBron, that at his age really should be impossible to do. And by the way, just bought the Red Sox. I got to get into that a little later because as much as it sickens me as a Yankees fan, this dude is not even, still in his mid-30s. He's got years to go before he's 40 years old. And he's the partial owner of one of the storied franchises in American sports history already? That was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. I want to get to some calls. I've been talking a lot today. And did that guy ever, Dave in Minnesota? Okay, Dave in Minnesota. Dave, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. But earlier you called and then seemed to hang up on yourself. What happened and what do you have to say?
I don't know what happened, but what's up, Max? I can't believe I'm about to talk about the Jets growing up as a Giants fan, but I did grow up in Queens, so I've been watching the Jets since the Richard Todd, Al Toon era.
Sorry to hear
that. And one thing that I'm noticing is, first of all, I don't know what Chicago was thinking. Like, I would have at least made a play for Sam Darnold, but one thing people aren't talking about, what I think would be a good situation for Darnold, because he would be in the same situation if he goes to Houston. Like, it'd be like the Jets all over again. But I don't know if this team could make a package deal for him, but he would be a really good fit for the Saints. How do you feel about that?
I'd like him on the Saints better than the Bears. Like, if I'm a Bears fan and we get Sam Darnold, I'm going, oh, come on, man. So at best, I'm going to have a pretty good quarterback, maybe even a very good one day if everything works out. But the evidence so far suggests maybe not even an average one, right? So far, Darnold has really played at backup level. He'd be a nice backup to have. He has to prove that he can even really be a reliable starter. He has not yet proven that. He's been in the league, you know, enough time now. Bad circumstances, true, but no, if I was the Bears, and by the way, the Bears have no offensive line. They could not protect the quarterback. I actually think everyone's like, oh, Nick Foles is a bad idea. If the Bears had an offensive line, I think Foles would have been fine. No, I don't like him on the Bears. I agree. The Saints would be a better situation because better offensive line. They have a defense. They have offensive weapons. They have a great coach, and you'd find out about him. And meantime, he's probably a better option than Jameis or Taysom Hill. Like, Jameis is not a good decision maker. He's just a, and maybe some of that is Bruce Arians, no risk it, no biscuit, but he's not a good decision maker. I'm not a believer in Jameis Winston. And Taysom Hill, I actually think, is kind of sneaky good. Even I think he has a chance at a quarter as a quarterback, but he's super inexperienced. Let's be honest about it. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. Dan, if I were a Bears fan, I'd be like, time out. We're in our 36th year of a quarterback drought. Russell Wilson just put our name on a list of teams he'd accept a trade to. Deshaun Watson's unhappy. Tom Brady moved off the Patriots last season. There's some interesting quarterbacks in this draft, and we just signed Andy freaking Dalton. Help me understand Chicago, Dan.
I mean, Max, this is what it looks like when your organization is run with panic. I mean, it's just a strictly panic move out of Chicago. My biggest issue with it all is you didn't need to do this today. Yeah. Like, you could have continued to, first of all, you have Nick Foles on your roster. Nick Foles and Andy Dalton, kind of the same guy.
Except Foles has won a Super
Nick
Bowl.
Foles is better.
Yeah, right. Dan, so Nick Foles has had a season of 27 touchdowns to 2 interceptions, right. A separate season where he was a Super Bowl MVP, and a separate season where he took a 5-6 team, caught fire, won a playoff game at Chicago on the road, and Dalton's better than him. How about putting an offensive line in front of Nick Foles while you're waiting for your quarterback?
That's my point. Like, you didn't need to do this, and now you've kind of boxed yourself in. There were so many other options to go about this. And, like, my other issue is, like, if you're Chicago and you've got Nick Foles, stand pat, and you know what? You threw a haymaker at Seattle, and they said no. Go throw a haymaker in the draft. Go
right.
Take those picks that you were going to go get. Because here's the thing.
Go get Justin
Maybe
Fields.
Maybe he shows a sign of development. Maybe he shows your ownership something that you go, you know what, we'll keep these guys. We'll keep Matt Nagy. Because signing Andy Dalton is like signing yourself to get fired. That's what it is for me with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy.
It's interesting because here's another thing you could do. You could announce to your team, guys, we need a quarterback. There's no excuse that this town has waited 35 years for a quarterback. And by the way, McMahon was no great shakes. He was okay, right? But there's no excuse. We're not making excuses. But this is what we're going to do first, because we took a swing at Russell Wilson. We can't get Russell Wilson right now. We're not sure about any of these quarterbacks in the draft yet. We don't have a lot of info on them. It's a weird year again with COVID. We are going to put together an offensive line first. Like, if I was a Bears fan and I heard that, like, we're going to get serious about this. We're putting together studs on the O-line. And when in the next two seasons, we're going to identify our quarterback. I could at least buy into that if I was a Chicago Bears fan. At least.
Foles wasn't any good
because he had no protection last year.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The general manager doesn't have till the next two seasons. Like, they win this year, or they show signs of really, really good. Like, then if they don't do that, they're fired. So I get your point with that, but Ryan Pace is moving because he has to move. Like, here's – dude, you should have just kept Mitchell Trubisky. Like,
yeah, right, for this. Maybe, yeah, you're right.
Maybe he has this freak-out season, and also, like, these – it's just a move. And if their plan was to go punch for Russell Wilson and then fall back for Andy Dalton – and I don't say this, like, kindly, because I've got kids, too. Like, you deserve to get fired. You know, if that was your plan, Russell, to Andy, then you deserve to get fired.
Yeah, look, Andy Dalton is, at this point in his career especially, he's a 1.5-to-1 touchdown-to-interception kind of guy, meaning maybe a starter if you can't find someone better, a nice backup to have, a guy who could maybe mentor a younger quarterback. But that's what, like, it all adds up. 35 years. Jay Cutler's a top three quarterback of my lifetime for the Chicago Bears. This is not a good franchise for quarterbacks. Meantime, does this mean Russell Wilson is staying in Seattle? Like, Dan, I wonder, is the quarterback movement, which hasn't come to the extent we've expected this preseason, is that because quarterbacks are now so valuable that very few teams have the draft capital to acquire a good one? Why do you think, is Russell Wilson staying in Seattle?
No, Russell Wilson is not staying in Seattle. I just don't believe that. He might stay in Seattle this year, but I don't think he's staying in Seattle long term. And you know this, Adam Schefter is the best person in the world at his job. And he was on Get Up this morning, and he was just saying, like, no, it's not a done deal. And he used words like, Seattle's just not comfortable enough yet with the college kids, like the draft-eligible guys. They may be as they get closer to the draft, but they're not comfortable enough yet. And so if Schefter's not shooting it down because of the conversations he's having with people, I'm not shooting it down. And like, with Russell, I feel like I'm the only person that talks about this. I don't think this is that much about football. I really, really don't. I think this is so much bigger, and Russell's just using football as the avenue to talk about it. I think Russell Wilson's mind is 90% made up that he wants out of Seattle for the remainder of his career because he wants to go build the brand, go be the next Magic or the first Magic Johnson of the NFL. I truly believe that.
And well, the best way to do that is to go to a competitor. Like, Tom Brady went to Tampa because they were set up to win, right? Like, that's the way you really increase your brand is win.
But Russell, it's not just Russell's brand. That's the thing. It's also the brand that he's married with as well.
Uh-huh.
And I think he wants to go to bigger markets. And Russell Wilson's going to be good no matter where he goes. He is going to win no matter where he goes. So, and he knows that, and he's confident in that. And that's why I said, like, if Seattle has to be candid about this situation, go, if Russell's mind is made up and it's easier for us to move on from him next year, his value and the urgency or desperation of other teams is at an all-time high. They need to consider it. They need to make it a real consideration, as great as Russell is.
Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst, joins me on the Goodyear hotline. So now we come to the Saints, Dan, and Jameis Winston. Now, I think, in spite of his inexperience, Taysom Hill showed some promise. But, okay, I know where you stand on all that, and a lot of people stand on Taysom Hill. Come on, you got to get a real quarterback. I don't believe in Jameis Winston, Dan. I think he's a bad decision maker. Would you trust him with the Saints? The Saints are otherwise set up to win, like a Super Bowl, like now. They need the quarterback. Can Jameis be that guy?
He's going to have to be that guy that he's never been before. I mean, Jameis has never been that guy. And Jameis is going to have to become somebody he's never been. He is always turn the football over, right? In college and in the NFL. So he's going to have to do something he's never done before. Now, he's also, in fairness, he's never been in this situation, Max. He's never been in this complete football team. He's never had this kind of coaching because, you know, we've got to be fair and say maybe he's just not a great fit for Bruce Arians' system. But the point for the Saints is, Max, they needed to find the needle in the haystack. They
right.
needed to find a unicorn, a guy that is good enough to play playoff-caliber football but also is cheap. They don't exist. They don't exist, so they're hoping and crossing their fingers that, you know, they find, you know, again, the unicorn, and Jameis becomes somebody that he's not. I would say this. For the people who tell me that the salary cap is not real, I point to New Orleans because their salary cap is a mess. And their quarterback decision this year is strictly attached to that reality.
Yeah, that's a shame because they are otherwise really ready to win. And I don't think it's coincidental that they were on Russell Wilson's list, nor that Russell Wilson throws his offensive line under the bus almost simultaneously. His agent on the record lists four teams he would accept the trade to. I mean, that's big stuff.
And that's my thing, Max. That, back to Russell, that's another point that I've made is, okay, the two things we've heard out of his mouth are not happy with the offensive line protection. I know he said, okay, you guys did a great job on First Take about this morning. He said, yeah, I got to be better. So he threw the offensive line out, and then he said, like, I want more input in the personnel. Well, ever since those comments, Carlos Dunlap, not there. Griffin, not there. Have not made a single addition to the offensive line. So if he felt that way 6 weeks ago, before all this, they're a worse football team today. So there's no way that I'm sitting here thinking Russell's happy about anything that's going on in Seattle.
The great Dan Orlovsky, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN NFL analyst. Dan, always appreciate it when you jump on, brother.
Thanks, bud. Be well.
There he is. Take a few calls. People want to talk Embiid and Richard in Manhattan, huh? Okay, Richard, what do you got? Richard in Manhattan. Paul in Studio City, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, I know it's a little off topic, right? And but, you know, who else can I talk to? You're the epitome of boxing
yes.
opinions in our country.
Yes.
You
yes.
are the top of the food chain.
Top
of the
Apex
pyramid.
Predator. Yes.
All right, so hopefully that buys me a few extra seconds. But I wanted to bring a little attention. There was a fight over the weekend. It was El Gallo Estrada, Mexican mm-hmm. fighter, champion, versus Nicaraguan Chocolatito. I know
yep.
you're familiar with.
Yep.
Yeah, you're familiar with him because he was you know, pound for pound, number one in the world at one point. And I'm American Nicaraguan. My wife's Nicaraguan. I have a lot of Nicaraguan family. And, you know, something that doesn't get brought to attention is over half of the country of Nicaragua was rooting for El Gallo. And a lot of has to do with mixing politics and sports.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's not something that's a big topic here, but as a boxing guy, you know, I just, in the media, they never cover all the multiple angles of this.
Well, I mean, look, this, it is
you
a little bit, it is a little bit off topic. It's more of a boxing show type of topic. But look, Alexis Arguello had his property confiscated, you know, when because of political upheaval, really. And he had invested in real estate in Nicaragua. I'll say this about the fight. I'll just comment on the sport of it all. Chocolatito won the fight. It was close and tough. I don't think it's the worst robbery I've ever seen, but he seemed to win 7-5 to me. It was a great fight and a tremendous rematch between two. It's called the Superflies, right? Because they fight at super flyweight, so it's billed that way. And it was that fight was Superfly. It's an all-time great rivalry for that weight neighborhood. And I did feel Chocolatito beat Estrada in the rematch. He'd beaten him in the first fight, also in a close, tough fight. This one was special. Chocolatito won the early rounds with boxing brilliance and rallied late with guts to pull out what I thought should have been the win. The politics of it all, for Chocolatito in Nicaragua and for Arguello, too, for that matter, is something too deep to get into right now in a general sports talk radio show. L.A., did LaMelo Ball just make a rookie mistake with LeBron? No doubts coming up. The tournament's finally here. The brackets have been set. Teams are ready to hit the court. And DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy, is celebrating with their largest free college basketball survivor pool ever. How large? $1 million in total prizes, up for grabs. And that's not enough, if that's not enough. When you enter the free DraftKings $1 million survival pool, you can get a shot at winning $10,000 for every upset through the first two rounds of the tournament. It's easy to play. Just pick one team per day. If they win and you survive and advance to the next round, you know, et cetera. Last person standing is the winner. Remember, you can only pick a team once for the entire tournament, so choose wisely. DraftKings is a safe and secure app. You can deposit, withdraw your funds at your convenience. Get in on all this week's action. Download the DraftKings app now. Enter code MAX during sign-up and enter the free $1 million survival pool. Again, that's code MAX to enter to DraftKings' free $1 million survival pool. Eligibility restrictions and terms and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. No doubt coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Hear what Mello Ball said about LeBron? Give me a call, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is on ESPN Radio, and so is the NBA. Tune in tonight as the Sixers host Giannis and the Bucks. That is a good one. Presented by Indeed, coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
All right, what you got, Raj?
All right, another team's off the table for Russ. So now looking like he's stuck in Seattle.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson's teammates might be looking at him a little sideways. You know what I mean?
No doubt. They got bus tire marks over him. The O-line does. Of course. Like, he did not mince words. He said, even when he said, like, well, I also hold the ball too long, he chased that one with, you know, of course, some of those plays turn into touchdowns. But he just threw his O-line under the bus. Yeah, they're going to be looking at him sideways. I don't expect Russell Wilson to be there to start the season.
Ooh, wow. Yep. Still, okay. Yeah, all right. Hey, we got a birthday in the house, Max.
Okay.
He played the wrong song, but that's okay. He was supposed to play a Don't Believe the Hype where Flavor Flav was in the beginning. You know, Bubba's a big hip-hop historian.
Brendan thinks this is Don't Believe the Hype.
Yeah, that's okay. But anyway, you know who's on there. Flavor Flav, he turned 62 yesterday. So my question to you, Flavor is the GOAT of all hype men.
Nah, son.
Ooh,
nah.
We got better.
He's not the king of all hype men is Bundini Brown, Muhammad Ali's corner man. That's the king of all hype men. Yep. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Rumble, young man, rumble. Yep, that's the one Jamie Foxx played, Bundini Brown.
There you go, B. Look at the comeback. That's Flavor right there. Right.
Yeah. No,
that's cool.
Flavor Flav is not as good a hype man as Bundini. No.
All right. Well, that's fine. We're going to say. Hey, take a listen to this quote. LaMelo Ball, who, of course, my rookie of the year, been talking about him since preseason.
Yeah, Raj loves LaMelo.
No doubt.
Oh, you know I love him. I told you, that vision's special. But
it is.
He was asked is he, by our own very own Dave McMiniman, are you excited to play LeBron for the first time? And his answer was this. I mean, nah. You know what I mean? I grew up a little different. Not really on basketball like that. So, no, not really excited. Hey, my question to you, Max, is LaMelo done messed up.
Nah, son. LaMelo's being honest with you. He's like, the Ball brothers are a little different. Daddy has had a plan for him, you know, whatever you think of it. And I think LaMelo, I mean, of course you know you're playing LeBron James. Of course you know that. But all the Ball brothers have a kind of court vision and a kind of willingness to play the game the right way and not worry about their own personal stats that is that LeBron shares, but I don't think it comes from LeBron's influence, you know? It's just that they see basketball the same way. So I kind of believe him. Of course he's aware it's LeBron, but I don't think he's making that up.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Hey, it's St. Paddy's Day, man. Max will throw back a couple of green ones later on. Green.
No. I'm 47 years old, Raj. I got three kids. I'm not throwing anything back. You know, at the end of the night with dinner, maybe I'll have a glass of wine. That's about it.
It's Wildin' Out Wednesday, though, for Raj, right?
Oh, it's Wildin' Out Wednesday.
Wildin' Out Wednesday, Taco Tuesday. Raj just needs an excuse to drink every single night. Raj, why don't you slow down? It's research.
Hey, I'm doing research. I'm going to local pubs and bars to do research with the people.
You're telling me it's St. Patrick's Day on top of Wildin' Out Wednesday? Raj is in heaven.
Oh, I think they cancel out. I think that means no drinking for Raj. Matter of fact, Raj is a cultural anthropologist now. He's got to do research, apparently.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Let me get to these calls because a lot of people are waiting to talk here. Someone called up about Nicaraguan politics earlier as it relates to Chocolatito. And being versed as I am, not only in politics but in boxing, Raj, I was able to talk about Alexis Arguello. And now his property was confiscated. That was impressive, Raj. I must say. Wouldn't you say so?
I would say so. Did you think there was something funny in the water with the fight with Pryor?
Of course. Give him the stuff. Of course. But, all right, let's get to actual calls about sports that we've been talking about. Scott in Nevada, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. I just want to talk about what you were saying about Jameis Winston. I feel like there's still a mystery out on him. Mm-hmm. If you look back in Tampa before Tom Brady showed up, all those weapons that they had were all upgraded by when Tom Brady got there. And all those guys that Tom Brady brought in were the ones who scored in the Super Bowl. I feel like Jameis Winston kind of gets a bad rap, but even Chris Godwin came out and said that not all the interceptions was his fault. A lot of them were miscommunication. So,
but then you got to lead the team better. But Scott, then you got to – that's a tough argument to make. You know, he had a lot of the same guys. It's the same team. He goes 7-9 and throws 30 interceptions to the tune of 112 points. Now, I was expecting Brady to cut the interceptions in half. If Brady would have thrown 30 touchdowns and 15 interceptions, they would have won 10 games. I thought the over-under should have been 9.5, and I take the over, 10. They won more games than that, and I would have said they win a playoff game also. But they won more than that, too. That was Brady's influence, and yes, Brady's the GOAT, so it's not like Jameis is being compared to just about anyone, but he's 43 years old. Jameis is in his physical prime, and he only got 9 wins out of that team. And then, when Fitzpatrick took over the offense at times, it was like, oh, that's the way it's supposed to work. Maybe Jameis has stuff in there that I haven't seen. I have not been a believer in Jameis Winston. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming up on Last Take, LeBron ownership of the Boston Red Sox is part owner now. I'm going to get into that. I love taking on my friends and family in ESPN's tournament challenge. By the way, that's really what the challenge is all about. Destroying your loved ones. Sign up now for ESPN Tournament Challenge at ESPN.com/bracket. We have a Max Kellerman bracket up. And this year you can boost your bracket with ESPN Plus. Use Bracket Predictor to analyze each matchup, get recommended picks one game at a time, and import your picks directly into ESPN's Tournament Challenge. Sign up now at ESPN.com. Last Take is next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It's the Max Kellerman Show, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, in celebration of Women's History Month. Pay tribute to Black Queens on The Undefeated on ESPN+. Plus, explore the athletes and coaches who have defied expectations and inspired others. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
I would like to give this episode of the Max Kellerman Show the Max Kellerman Show Award for Best Show of the Day. Did you miss any of the Max Kellerman Show? Well, you can always find both hours of this award-winning show posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. LeBron has years to go before he's 40 years old. He has won a bunch of championships, a bunch of MVPs, made a bunch of money, and is now, by the way, led on social justice issues, and is now part owner of the Boston Red Sox. Do you know what it is to own a team like the Boston Red Sox? I mean, despicable choice of teams, of course, but it's a license to print money. Like, not only does the equity in those teams rise constantly, but think about customers of a business, right? Every day, new customers of this business are born, and they follow it like a religion. They have faith in it. They're devoted to it. I have three daughters who don't really watch baseball. They're all Yankees fans. Got the Yankees hats, Yankees gear. They patronize that business. And they're indoctrinated. That's a legacy play by LeBron for sure. And he's got years to go before he's even 40 years old. That is unbelievable what this guy's accomplished. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Umar in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know, how is LaMelo Ball what we always thought Lonzo Ball should have been or would have been?
Yeah, but with more spring in his step, yes. I would say yes. Yeah, I mean, but Lonzo's good. Lonzo's really good. As a matter of fact, when you think about players who the Knicks should target on the deadline, I don't know if Lonzo's available, a guy like that. Yeah, but LaMelo is Lonzo 2.0. Look, Lonzo hasn't been a perennial all-star or anything like that, and LaMelo looks like he will be. So I get your meaning. But Lonzo's good, too. Tyrone and Philly are on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yes. How you doing, Max? I really like what the Washington football team has done. Mm-hmm. I think getting Ryan Fitzpatrick as their quarterback, a nice bridge quarterback.
Yep.
And I really like what they did with their running back position, signing
Gibson
the 1 year deal with Lamar Miller.
Yeah, well, listen, the Washington football team is my favorite at this moment. Let's see what happens in the draft to win the NFC East. They just won 7 games with a great defense. They gave the Bucs a real game. Bucs went on to win the Super Bowl, beat the Saints, the Packers, and the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. Washington gave them a tough game. And you know, they've upgraded at quarterback, obviously. I mean, Alex Smith doesn't have a job right now. Fitzpatrick does. And you're looking at a division like, yes, the Cowboys have Dak Prescott, but given all the money they just paid him. Look, when Dak was last healthy for a full season, they were in a pitiful division, and they won 8 games and didn't get to the playoffs. They lost out to the Eagles, who are also no good, racked with injuries, and Carson Wentz won very good in spite of what people thought. So, I don't see any team really standing in their way unless Daniel Jones really takes a step forward this year. With Fitzpatrick, I think Fitzpatrick finally ends the drought and gets to the playoffs. And you're right, of course, he's a bridge quarterback, but this division's weak enough that I think they can win it with him. Adam in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, I have one problem with Indy's choice quarterback and the Bears and Houston. They're sleeping on one player out there that still hasn't been picked up.
Who? You've piqued my interest.
Flacco.
Come on. Flacco, really? Why? You saw what happened to the Joe Flacco? Are you serious? Or you're putting me on. Todd in Pennsylvania, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Ew, Max, man. I know this is off the subject, ain't about no sports. This is about the Nas and Jay-Z beef, the battle.
Yeah.
You always say that Jay-Z won. How can
Correct.
You say that, bro?
How can I say it? Simple. The takeover was a surgical precision. He told the truth. He gave Nas props where he deserved it. So once he set him up like that, the rest of the stuff rings true. He's not just throwing insults at Nas to see what sticks. Each strike landed. Each shot landed. Nas in Ether just threw everything against the wall to see what would stick, right? Just insult after insult. Oh, it doesn't land with the same impact. That's like two dudes, one dude's flurrying and the other dude's picking off the shots and countering. No, I know it's a hot take. It's turned into a hot take. But Takeover was better than Ether, and Jay-Z got Nas in that one. I'm not saying Jay-Z ever had an album as good as Illmatic. But Jay-Z, overall, throughout his entire career, you add it up, he's the greatest rapper of all time. And the Takeover was better than Ether. Sorry. Let's see what else happens in NFL free agency. Shanae and Golic Jr. coming up. See you tomorrow. Poof.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.